Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Hey,
welcome in, Danny and Dusty, live from 10 Barrel Brewing. They let us out of the cage for today. We are at 10 Barrel in
for a little
the
while.
Pearl. Yeah, we get 3 hours here. I've got to start this bad boy off. Come down to 10 Barrel. We're right here in the Pearl. I'm looking right now at Flanders. What is this, 11th and Flanders? Is that what that is? Is that what street 12? That is right out there? 12th and Flanders?
12th Flanders.
14th? What? 14th and Flanders. Gosh, I was Swenson, Samsonite.
Yeah, that's
way
it.
Off.
We'll find it.
But we are 14th and Flanders. Come down. It is 10 Barrel Brewing. It is our NBA draft extravaganza at 10 Barrel. The roof is open. The sign is up. Come on down. We have from noon right now all the way till 7 p.m. We are live at 10 Barrel giving you all things NBA draft. And I have to tell the people out there, I have never seen Danny so quiet in my entire life. You usually barrel in and you don't stop talking until you walk out the door.
Yeah.
You have been eerily quiet all day long. You've been locked into your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Your phone keeps on buzzing over there.
Yep.
I now feel like a parent with two teenagers where you're at the dinner table and you're like, hey, can I get some eye contact from you?
You're
locked and loaded, buddy.
I flip my phone over while we're on air, so okay. I don't look at it too much, but I'm also like eerily like, do I need to flip it over?
I need that Woj breaking news, though. You need to pull the Schefter if anything pops up, though.
Yeah, no, for sure. I've got it on my watch as well because I'm a lunatic. I went to bed about 2 o'clock in the morning, got up at 6, and it's been busy. I've heard multiple things that we could get weird in the next hour or so. So, there's always things that get close that never actually come to fruition, but more than a few people are saying that it might hit the fan here in a little bit.
Ooh. We're talking
big time moves in the NBA.
Trades, yep. Big moves, player movement that we're talking about here because, look, this is going to be 2 days in a row. We start very sportsy, but worth it right now. Last night we saw obviously the first major domino to fall, and this is truly a blockbuster where you have the Nova Knicks now fully united. Jay Wright is about to go and kick Tibbs right out the door of MSG and take over coaching that team, because essentially every starter from that 2016 Villanova national championship team is on the New York Knicks now.
Yeah, no, I've never seen anything like it in professional sports where so many players from the team have, like, we've seen, like, a couple guys from Georgia end up with the Eagles. We're like, whoa, crazy. Now they've got, you know, four guys from a national title team. You're going, four of, like, really 12, not 15. But, yeah. I mean, four of 15 is a big deal. And, I mean, outside of, you know, some weirdness, you're going to start at least three of them.
Look, we can pull the onion, the layers of this onion back over the course of this show, because there's a lot of angles that you can take from it. But what ended up happening, if you missed it, the New York Knicks acquire Mikal Bridges from the Brooklyn Nets in exchange for Bojan Bogdanovic, four unprotected first-round picks, a top 10 protected Bucks pick, a pick swap, a first-round pick swap, and a second-round pick. That is a massive haul for two teams that not just share a city in New York City. They haven't done a deal together since 1983. First trade between the Knicks and the Nets since 1983.
Yeah, crosstown rivals don't like doing that.
And it goes for four unprotected first-round picks, a pick swap, and a second-round pick, but Mikal Bridges, they're just trying to collect all of the wings in Madison Square Garden.
Well, not only that, they're trying to collect all the Villanova players like an infinity gauntlet. Yeah. That's really where they're at this point. I've never seen somebody flirt in public like this with, you know, a potential teammate so many times as the Knicks have. And actually have it come to fruition. Because there's always plenty of talk. We know that we have the banana boat and the how everything came together in Miami. Certain guys were left off the banana boat as well. Melo and Chris Paul. Stuff. But, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how it works out. Do you want to dive into the particulars now?
Yeah.
Okay.
No better time to do it than now.
Well, I've seen some people call the Knicks, oh, my God, they overpaid. I think you need to take a step back and treat this like the Kawhi Leonard and Paul George trades to the Clippers, where, yes, they gave up a ton for Paul George, but that also got them Kawhi Leonard. And in this vein, they gave up peanuts for OG Anunoby, and they overpaid for Mikal Bridges. So, but if you look at them, and if they're able to keep OG...
And that's the other thing, too, is that they do plan to keep OG Anunoby. They're offering about $26 million. OG and his camp, they want around $30 million.
And then some.
And then some.
35, 36 is where they're probably going to have to end up.
And it's odd. It's almost the exact same numbers as the Brandon Ayuk deal. Isn't that weird?
It's a little weird. Because typically the NBA is going to have a little bit more.
That's weird.
Right?
All right.
But if you take a look at the totality of the trades for OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges, if I told you could get OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges to the New York Knicks by giving up Emmanuel Quickley, RJ Barrett, and four unprotected firsts plus the Bucks pick, five total picks, would you do it?
Yes. Yes. I think if I look at the way that New York is pushing all in right now, though, they are saying that, look, we know our window is going to be small, but to win a championship, it will all be worth it. And if I'm a New York Knicks fan, you love that. You are mortgaging the future. You see that there is potential and hope right there with this roster, in the way that they have kind of assembled all of the other Villanova guys and kind of brought everybody together. But at the same time, you know, we do have fans that get so caught up of, oh, future draft picks. Look at what the Nets have done, though. The Nets gave up all of their future draft picks. Mm-hmm. And then when they are hitting the hardest of hard resets, they are going to be bottom feeders in the NBA next year. And it is going to be by design. They're getting all of those picks back because they end up doing an ancillary trade with the Houston Rockets last night, where they got their first-round pick back. Mm-hmm. And so you're looking at everything kind of coming together full circle.
Yeah, it's a full hard reset for the Nets. And after dancing back and forth, Sean Marks won the battle with Joe Tsai and basically told him, shut up, let me run the team. And that's really what needed to happen, because that middle ground of like, well, we don't have our picks, so we can't really tank, was such a dumb thing. And the The Bridges trade, I was told, was predicated on getting the picks back from Houston.
Yeah.
That was the deal was not going to materialize without getting those picks back.
It would
back.
Have been insanity to make that deal without having the framework and a handshake yeah. agreement with Houston before.
So,
then.
And what they did, and I think they did the right thing here, they basically cashed in their Suns picks for their own picks and then traded their own picks for Knicks picks. If that makes sense. So they've cashed in the capital. What's interesting about this now...
I feel like Alan from The Hangover playing cards.
Well, you think about this in the sense of the leverage that the Rockets had here in having the Nets picks. Now the Rockets have the leverage in having the Suns picks.
And that is a whole other situation where the Suns are going to want their picks back.
If things go sideways, and there's been... We talked about this, I want to say 6 weeks ago, I heard that there was some rumblings around Kevin Durant in Phoenix. Now, they're denying that he's on the block or that he's available. I've heard from multiple people that the Suns and Kevin Durant are at odds. However, there's not an immediacy or a push to move him, and if they do move him, it will be out of nowhere, and it will just materialize much like the Mikal Bridges trade. Now, I don't think the Suns know how to operate like that, but we'll see how that comes up. But here's what you need to know as far as the Knicks and Nets are concerned, then we can move into Houston. The Knicks have basically gone all in. They do have a little bit more capital to spend, and they need to find a home for Julius Randle. That's a real thing. Isaiah Hartenstein is gone. He is not going to return to the Knicks. He is going to be a very, very sought-after, high-level role player on
That's
the market.
Tough. That's tough for yep. them, though. That's tough, and especially if you move off Julius Randle, which they didn't make this run in the playoffs this year without Julius mm-hmm. Randle, and at the end of the season, obviously, because he had a shoulder injury. But at the same time, now you're at a crossroads where you are missing now front court because you have got all the wings in the world. Your backcourt is definitely set. Are you going to be relying on 6'4 Josh Hart to be your leading rebounder? Leading rebounder throughout now?
Yeah, no, I don't think you can do that. And even as crazy as Tibbs is, I don't think that's a reality that can exist. So it's going to be interesting to see how that part of it all plays out. I was talking to a bunch of people around the league last night, and we all played the where does Randle go? Like, and finding yeah. that team right now is increasingly difficult. I don't know where Randle goes right now. And that's, I think, going to be the surprise for me is where he ends up. But as far as the Knicks are concerned right now, they've got their Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, 1-2-3, absolute monster. And then you mix in... If they for whatever reason they'd keep Randle, which I don't think is going to happen, Randle the four, then they figure out do they keep Mitchell Robinson now at the five, and they've got DiVincenzo coming off the bench.
Now here's another question as it relates to Julius Randle, who his salary is higher than Jeremy Grant's. We've heard Jeremy Grant's name kind of bandied about in a lot of different places, and we will talk about that as the show goes on because, you know, the Lakers have now popped into the chat, and this is more of teams just checking in along with, you know, Dallas, which we've talked about. They're kicking the tires, and they're checking in on Jeremy Grant, but when you have another four that's on the market, does that suppress the value that the Blazers could potentially get in a return for a guy like Jeremy Grant?
Stylistically, I think there's going to be some differences there that's going to change things around. Also, the value of Jeremy's contract and the fact that he hasn't had to have two pretty radical surgeries. Jeremy's been in, despite him being set down to close seasons, he's been relatively healthy. So he's never really had to deal with anything serious. But the Nets, however, now have a full reset table. They have a two-year window with which to tank. That's what they have. They have their own picks for 2025 to 2026. There's a swap in 2027, which gets a little dicey. But they're going to go face first into the ground.
Yeah, four first-round picks in the 2025
yep.
draft.
So, and they're including their own, where they are going to look, that's the other part of this we haven't talked about. From what I understand, it is a fire sale.
Oh, yeah.
Everything must go.
They are cratering into the side of the mountain.
Cam Johnson is going to be available. Dorian Finney-Smith is going to be available. Ben Simmons is available, but I think that's only as a way for a team to maybe reset their team financially. That's the, you know, something that's there. It's going to be interesting to see just exactly how much. That's the thing is, like, I don't think a Julius Randle could suppress the market, but I wonder how much the availability of a bunch of Nets wings could all of a sudden not only not suppress the market, but get the market going. Because now it was like, oh, there's all these guys are available. It's like, let's start wheeling and dealing.
And that's why this was the very first domino to fall on heading into this draft. It was, we're not going to see a whole lot of activity of teams wanting to move up and moving to move up in this draft. But because of the new CBA, because of what the 2025 draft holds, and the fact that teams are going to want to tank and make sure that they are positioning themselves in a place to get a lottery pick, get a top five pick next year, we could see fire sales from rosters, teams trying to manipulate to get under the second apron or find that final piece to open up that championship window wide open for them. And the action is just starting. We are less than 5 hours away from the NBA draft. We're down here at 10 Barrel Brewing in the Pearl, 14th and Flanders. Come on down. We already got people showing up. The rooftop bar is open. You got, what is that? The Euros are on one TV. We got draft coverage on the other.
Yeah, we got Turkey, Czech Republic going over there.
That dude, who doesn't love a good Turkey versus Czech Republic game on the TV? But
great jersey matchup.
The draft is here, and we are just hours away. Rumors are swirling. How do these pertain to the hometown team, though? The Portland Trail Blazers hold the 7th and 14th picks in the draft. We just got done talking about the first domino to fall was the Mikal Bridges trade going from Brooklyn to New York. Well, that's a weird statement to say. Going from the Nets to the Knicks, because Brooklyn is in New York.
From New York to New York.
What is the buzz around the Blazers this draft and what it's looking like at 7? Let's start diving into it. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, the Portland Trail Blazers hold the 7th and 14th picks in this draft, and coming up today, we will be joined at 1 o'clock, Corey Teleba from No Ceilings. He will join us at 1. Casey Holdall, the Portland Trailblazers, he's going to hop on with us at 2 o'clock. We're going to bust down the door of the Blazers War Room.
We'll get Casey on the phone, and then him and I will matriculate on down to the practice facility tonight for the media availability. It's going to be a busy, busy day.
Let's go. All right, let's talk about the hometown team and what we're looking at from the Portland Trail Blazers holding that number 7 draft. Boy, there is a lot of information swirling. Guys are rising up draft boards. We're seeing teams rumored to be making moves. And look, this all, it points at a lot of gray area for Portland at 7, because we've seen Donovan Klingon as high as 1. Mm-hmm. We have seen him as low as 7 to Portland. You're now seeing teams wanting to move up and jump over Portland. What are we looking at with 7, and what it just kind of where we're at less than 5 hours away from draft?
As of right now, it's as clear as mud.
There we go.
That's where we're at. So Donovan Klingon is proving to be quite the spark point. It does sound like Zachary Rizashay is going to go number 1 overall to Atlanta. There's still some noise around potentially San Antonio moving up, but I think if they're going to move one of their picks at this point, it sounds like it's going to be number 8. They've been linked with that pick and Keldon Johnson in various trade scenarios around the league, so we'll see how that pans out. But as of right now, I feel as comfortable as I will feel in this draft with Rizashay going 1, Sarr going 2. After that, it's a basket of cats. There has been real smoke about Memphis moving up to number 3 to take Donovan Klingon. If they move up to 3, that's what they're going for.
And if Reed Sheppard is the guy that Houston covets, they could probably still get him at 8 if they swap back.
9.
Nine.
Memphis,
sorry,
Memphis
nine,
is at 9. San Antonio's
at 8.
But the interesting thing is, that's the thing, is that if what happens at 3 is going to, we've talked about spark points in this draft, that is going to be the spark point. Originally, I had it as 3 and 5 because
with
those...
Detroit.
And that's the thing. Is, right now, if somebody, if Klingon isn't taken at 3 and the Rockets take Reed Sheppard and they can't move 3 for whatever reason, I've been told by multiple sources that Detroit is considering Klingon just for the hell of it because they have Trajan Langdon and it's the best player on their board.
Just bigs on bigs on bigs.
And then they'll figure out what to do with Duren and Isaiah Stewart and then kind of go from there. Or they could basically hold him hostage and trade him. And that's that's another opportunity. A first opportunity for Trajan Langdon to make his kind of spark point in this draft. That would push, obviously, Modest Buzelis further down in the draft. And if he doesn't get picked there, there's a chance that he could slide to 10, 11, 12, which would be a big drop for him. If Klingon's gone and you get to 6 and Charlotte's sitting there and Reed Sheppard is on the board, they've been wanting to move up, or rumored to move up for Reed for quite some time. The three players that I have heard the Charlotte Hornets most interested in are Reed Sheppard, Stephen Castle, and Donovan Klingon. As of right now, if the Spurs stay at 4, I think they're going to take Castle.
And that is the guy who makes the most sense stylistically. And, I mean, look at him between the ears. Mm-hmm. He's a pop guard through and through.
Yes, and I know some decision makers that have him number 1 on their board overall. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's a very Spursian pick. It's very much... I think a lesser leveraged Kawhi Leonard at that point, where you're hoping that something else takes another level, takes another step, an opportunity there to kind of figure some stuff out. Then you get to Charlotte and the decision they make. Cody Williams is high on their board. I've been told from multiple people that the Charlotte Hornets are considering Cody Williams, and that's kind of like where that position goes. So if Cody Williams is off the board, Donovan Klingon's off the board, what do the Blazers do at 7?
Tijan Salam.
I think that's probably the most likely course of action.
But with the way that you just laid it out, that would also leave Modest Buzelis on the board, which has not been linked to Portland at all.
There's been a couple people here or there, but that's about it. It's just not something that's been out there. I heard his workout was okay. I know he has supporters not only around the league, but I know that there's certain people within the Blazers organization that think, hey, if the shot's real, he's 6'10", he can put the ball on the floor, there's some stuff there. And if you're talking about upside, if you believe in the shooting, that's an opportunity. Personally, if the board were to fall this way, I would go with Salon. That would be the pick that I would make. However, there's a chance that Cody Williams is there, and I think Cody Williams is probably the guy that they're most looking at right now if Klingon is going to go early. What's interesting is what the hell happens after Portland, because as messy as it looks 1 through 6, it does it all over again 8 through 13.
Yeah.
If the Grizzlies move up and now the Rockets move back, who are they taking at 9? or are they completely out? Or do they move nine for something else? You know, that's like, you just don't know what's going to happen there. Do they? Because nine is, I've been told, is the floor for Ron Holland. That's as early as he's going to go.
Wait, you mean the ceiling for him? Well, the earliest that he'll go?
Yeah, so floor. Okay. So yeah. The earliest that he will go, and that's, but that's Memphis. If all of a sudden it's the Rockets picking there, are they going to add another young wing to that team?
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. There's just no room for it, okay? So the Spurs, if they trade out of eight, who's moving into eight? What happens there? And now if you've got the Rockets trading back to nine, and that's before you get to 10 in Danny Ainge in Utah, and you're going, the 8 and 9, coin tosses. I don't know which way they're going to go. I think if the board falls out with this group of players, I think you're probably looking at Utah looking at Nikola Topic. And I think that's eventually how you're going to get your top 10. Now, where they go, God only knows in what order, outside of Risa Shea and Sar. But I think there's an opportunity that Reed Sheppard could fall. There's an opportunity that Don McClingan could fall. There's an opportunity that Matas Bezalis could fall. Like, there's an opportunity across the board for a number of players. And I don't mean fall out of the top 10, but fall out of projected spots or teams switching spots to pick up guys that they want, and then an opportunity comes for somebody else.
The most unsure draft in quite some time is getting
it's
more uncertain by the hour as we approach draft, which will start at 5 o'clock. Our coverage on sister station ESPN Portland 910 starts at 4 o'clock for the NBA draft. Isaac and Suk are going to be here right after us at 10 Barrel Brewing in the Pearl. It's a 14th in Flanders. We already got Blazer fans filing in. They're already having some sodies right now. The rooftop bar is open, so come on down. Hang out with us, the NBA draft party at 10 Barrel Brewing. We'll be here till 7 o'clock tonight getting all things Portland Trail Blazers leading up to the draft. All right. One thing that you said, we went over this yesterday, and this is one thing that I would love to hear from Blazer fans, whether you're on the YouTube stream or on the Vancouver Ford text line at 503-864-6326. With what we just went through, this uncertainty, and the fact that now the door is opening, all right, at 7 for guys like Matas Bezalis. We Reed Sheppard, right? If he's... doesn't seem like a guy that Portland would take, but if he's there and you have that much faith in him,
if you're looking,
he's
your best player. Let's say he's second on the Blazers board, and all of a sudden he's there at 7. You're like, well,
this is where you're going: biggest upside, biggest swing, best player available. All right, what does this open up Portland for right now? 503-864-6326. Right now, you got Jeff Rust, and he's got SportsCenter. All right, Danny and Dusty live from 10 Barrel Brewing in the Pearl, 14th and Flanders. Come down, party with us, party people. The YouTube party animals are still alive and well, popping off in the chat. We asked the question right before we went to break. With everything that is at play ahead of Portland, it's amazing that we were talking mock drafts for weeks now, having Donovan Klingon's floor being at 7 to Portland, where that would be the furthest that he would drop. We could see him go as high as 1. We could see teams that are being rumored to trade up into that 3 spot to draft him at 3, which would just throw a wrench into everything in the draft process. A guy that we have not talked about a whole lot, or two guys that we haven't talked a whole lot about, are Reed Sheppard and Matas Bezalis. And if the draft really does get sideways on us and things get weird, if either one of those guys fall to 7, is it take the big swing in projection on the upside with a guy like Bezalis? Is it take the best player available and go for a guy like Reed Sheppard? What do you feel right now as we're heading in about 4.5 hours out from the first pick being selected?
There's just so much as far as the evaluation process, and it depends on what you want to hear. If you're looking for somebody to say that the Blazers should look at Matas Bezalis, then that's out there. I can go into my phone right now and I can basically find any particular scout or evaluator, and whatever player I want to go to whatever team, I can find that opinion. That's how scattered this draft is right now. I just tweeted it out a few minutes ago. I've heard Rob Dillingham is a player that could move into the top 5 right now. And 2 days ago, that was a non-starter, and I heard it from one person 2 days ago, and then I heard it from three people, and then I heard it from four, and then I heard it from five, and then I heard it from another source this morning, and I was like, holy shnikes. And like, that's the thing is, like, I think what one exec told me as far as like their board being so different from Mox is very true. Yeah, like, yeah, there's a lot of chalk in the sense of like what's being put out there, yeah. But I think teams that are actually picking in the top 10 are uncertain, and there's a lot more caution being thrown to the wind, or a lot less caution being thrown to the wind. So could Portland take a look at a guy like Miles Bozalis? Yeah, they could. And that's the thing is, like, I could they look at a guy like Tijon Salon? Absolutely. That's very much on the table. I have some sources that still think that the Blazers are very much looking at Zach Edey at 14. No one is looking at Zach Edey at 7.
Nope.
Not a single person.
Kevin O'Connor is really pushing ED at 7.
I have gotten very serious pushback. Christian Peak came on our show and laughed at it. I know she did another appearance where she said ED at 7 is a fireable offense. So there's very strong opinions about ED at 7 for sure. I have heard ED has interest from the Grizzlies. If for whatever reason they can't get to Klingon, they could trade out of 9 and move back potentially to 14 to Portland. If Portland sees somebody at 9 after the Spurs pick, they go, hey, we know that the Jazz are looking at wings too. If for whatever reason the wing that we want is there at 9, we could probably do that. And then you take a look at the Memphis Grizzlies taking Zach Edey. So much of this is eye of the beholder, and then the process of what's in front of you. And I think so much of what happens tonight is going to be determined by what happens in front of you. And I know that's always every draft, but this is even more drastic, where you have a general idea of Team X is going to do this. Yep. Right now, it's like, ow. There's a lot of that going on right now. So, could the Blazers take a look at the long-term runway for Matas Bozalis? Absolutely.
Yeah, Gateway on the YouTube says, Matas seems like the perfect fit in PDX. 6'10", irrational confidence, can pass, dribble, hopefully shoot. hopefully shoot.
Yeah, the dribbling's like that's more theory. It's like, yeah, he's got a better handle than most guys that are like big.
6'10"?
Yeah, but like, I've watched a ton of film on him, and I've seen him live. He gets pushed around a ton.
Yeah.
He's got to learn how to leverage his body. Honestly, I'm significantly less worried about the shooting and more worried about his inability to leverage his size. Yeah.
And that is something that, though, with his age, and he does have the frame to fill out and be a guy who you can kind of coach him along and kind of teach him along the way, and hopefully that's what you're banking on. That's a big upside, big swing type guy. You know, Kirk in on the YouTube chat is saying, hey, if we can get Matas and then move up and get Tijon Salon as well, I mean, that would be the hopping in front of Utah, getting back into 9 from 14, and then you can get a guy like Salon. That's kind of where I'm at, where biggest holes on this roster right now for moving forward into the future. We know Jeremy Grant is a really good four. He is more than serviceable at the four. But it is the three and the four. The more bodies that you can get in there, especially in a draft like this where you have two picks and you're going to be in a position where you can take some of those bigger swings, fill out those spots as much as you can. And then you let the competition play out over this next season, whether it's Tumani Kamara, you know, Matisse Thybulle, Ryan Rupaire, whomever they draft. Like, let them just go and figure it out, because this is where Portland is at in their rebuild.
Yeah, you go full Joker. You break the pool cue in half, and you go, all right, whoever comes out.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I'm being serious. No, like, it's a real thing. It's like, yes, you can have too many guys, but also somebody needs to separate themselves from the herd. As much as I love these guys, like, as people, and you know, when you're in the locker rooms, when you 41 times, and you spend practices, and you spend hours before game and hours after games talking to the guys, you build relationships with all.
Yeah.
I love these guys, but this is also the most competitive industry in the world when you're talking about cutthroat. There's only so many positions. There's 450 spots in the league. If you ain't got it, the next guy, literally in this draft, is coming to take your job.
And I mean, going back to things that we said yesterday, and look, this is the subterfuge time where people are trying to undercut and make sure they're weaseling for position all over the place. This is smoke signal season to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. What we went back to yesterday is that we both were like, all right. And I think it's smart to revisit these things when you get to draft day and all the information that's just flooding in is that Cody Williams was the guy that everybody was kind of projecting to and looking at seven. Tijan Salon, also a guy that at seven, everybody was looking for and projecting to. If one of those two guys is available, I still think that that is the move for Portland because those are two of the guys that they've done the most digging on as well. And the guys that they have dove into, scouted, worked out, and we've, like when you hear the same names over and over again through the draft process, we can still connect those dots and say, all right, not much is going to change in a wholesale unless one of their guys that they have is like a top three ends up falling in their lap, whether that's Donovan Klingon, whether that's, you know, Reed Shepard, Modest Bazalis, wherever they have those guys, you know, mocked in their top prospects, unless one just falls into your lap, I still go back to Cody Williams. I still go back to Tijan Salon.
One of the interesting things is, and I think we can talk about this a little bit later, is the Hornets could be in a prime position to kind of screw with the Blazers yet again in year two. Because the Hornets are picking directly in front of them.
Let's dive into that next. Because last year it was Brandon Miller, and then the Blazers ended up selecting Scoot Henderson at three. This year the Charlotte Hornets sit at six, and the Blazers sit at seven directly behind them. And it very easily could happen where they throw the Blazers for a loop for a second straight year. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Are those guys in Charlotte going to screw us over again, Danny?
I mean, there's an opportunity for them to try to leverage somebody. Cody Williams has been linked to them a lot over the last couple of days. I've heard that the group of guys that they're looking at, Reed Shepard, Dalton Kennett, Cody Williams, is kind of that group. And if Dalton doesn't go six, I think there's a good chance he actually could fall out of the top 10. I think he's a candidate for a kind of a faller, to speak. I could see Chicago being a landing spot for him, but last year
they're at 11.
Yep. The last year though, the Hornets had the number 2 overall pick. The Blazers had number 3, and the Hornets did call and say, "Hey, do you want to trade up to 2?" And they asked for a pretty righteous sum to move up one pick. Now it was a draft where guys were looked at a lot higher. But Charlotte tried to really leverage things in the closing hours leading into the draft, and the Blazers said, "Nah, that's too steep. We're not interested in doing that." And ultimately, they took the best prospect available in Scoot Henderson in their eyes.
This is good. Now, here would be the interesting prospect for me. We've talked about this. You have 2 first round picks this year, 2 second round picks this year. The Portland Trail Blazers do. If there is a situation where that threat of Cody Williams is there. Okay, so 4 draft picks this year. You've already got, when you consider the options that will be picked up from guys that are on this roster right now, we already have 12 roster spots that have been filled out by Portland. Okay, with the 4 draft picks available, could we see Portland say, all right, we're not going to do this year. If we like Cody Williams, we're going to go get Cody Williams, and we'll give up a pick to make sure we get our guy.
I have not heard the Blazers involved in any of those kind of discussions.
They have wanted to use both picks from the get-go.
Yeah, and I don't... As much as there was that discussion about the Blazers are entertaining moving up for Donovan Klingon, I think they did their due diligence, but I have not heard anything that would indicate that they got that deep into any discussions.
Yeah.
Now, does that change in the next 3 hours?
Yeah.
Sure. But at this point, no. I don't think they would. But as we always say, the impetus for action is always an event, and that's being on the clock. If the Hornets are on the clock and the Hornets call the Blazers and say, "Hey, you sure you don't want to?" Do they change?
Yeah.
And I think that's always the. I know it sounds like a cop out, but that's the reality of this stuff. Is that so much of it depends on when the pressure is applied and how it's applied.
And look, this is something that this came in on the Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. Wanted clarification: picks in this draft can be traded up until 1 hour prior to the draft starts, and then trades will happen as they are on the clock otherwise. So from 4 to 5 p.m., picks are locked until the pick is on the clock.
That's how it's been done historically. I can't find any changes within the new CBA, so I believe that's still the case. So. Yeah.
That is always silly, though, when guys get drafted, they're forced to put on the hat for the team that we know
that.
Not playing for.
They changed it already at the draft lottery. Remember, instead of showing the Warriors card at 14, they showed the Blazers card. So maybe instead of having the agreed upon in principle and where they put on the wrong hat, like, just let them put on the right hat.
Yeah.
Like, we all know that, like, what if the trade doesn't go through and now he's wearing the wrong, like, then somebody screwed up and they gave the wrong Brooks for the trade.
You will have one photo that it's a footnote in history that this guy was drafted and it didn't work and the trade fell through, as opposed to every draft day trade where these guys are forced to put on a hat for a team they will never play for.
Yes. And it's funny,
we have multiple of them.
Yeah. You go back in and you see the Andrew Wiggins wearing a Cavs hat. We all know this isn't happening. Why are we pretending?
So we're going to probably see in what you, as you said, deadlines spur action. There's teams that want to get these trades done in the hopper as early as they possibly can, because then you can really start going through your draft and solidifying what you want to do.
Yes and no.
The mess in all of it is that because of 5, 6, 7, where there could be the anarchy, that's why the teams want to move up to 3, because you know what's going to happen more or less at 1 and 2.
And that's the thing is that, so if you're Houston, that's what you're saying. Look, behind us, you don't really know. Here, you have an idea, and I think that's what's – everybody's waiting for Houston. And then I think you'll see, like, draft day trades as far as the draft pick type. Now, the Brooklyn Nets are a team that are flagging. Like, they have no picks in this draft. Now, they have 4 picks next year, and they're going a hard reset. Cam Johnson is a guy that is sought after. There's multiple teams I know that are chasing him, and Dorian Finney-Smith. Does a team look at Cam Thomas and be like, hey, do you want to go get some buckets somewhere else, or do you want to be in Brooklyn and get 40 shots a night? Which I think that actually might be something he'd like.
Just treat it like the G League.
Yeah, I can get as many apps as I want here. Because that man, like, if he was, if you're playing, you know, 2K with him, you should not be able to pass the ball. Like, because that man is a chucker if there ever was one. And I don't say that, like, begrudgingly. Like, the man knows what he does. The other thing that everybody else is waiting for beyond those kind of moves are the big moves. And that's what's going to happen with Paul George, because that domino has massive implications across the NBA as far as power structures and how teams are lined up.
Well, we can't really determine what's going to happen with Paul George right now.
Nope.
We are going to have to wait until second week of July.
Oh, no, it might happen before
the first week of July.
That's what I'm saying. There's real smoke around the potential for a Paul George deal in the next 12 hours.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, Danny and Dusty live from Tin Barrel Brewing in the Pearl, 14th and Flanders. Come down, party with us, party people. The YouTube party animals are still alive and well, popping off in the chat. We asked the question right before we went to break. With everything that is at play ahead of Portland, it's amazing that we were talking mock drafts for weeks now, having Donovan Klingon's floor being at 7 to Portland, where that would be the furthest that he would drop. We could see him go as high as 1. We could see teams that are being rumored to trade up into that 3 spot to draft him at 3, which would just throw a wrench into everything in the draft process. A guy that we have not talked about a whole lot, or two guys that we haven't talked a whole lot about, are Reed Sheppard and Matas Buzelis. And if the draft really does get sideways on us and things get weird, if either one of those guys fall to 7, is it take the big swing and projection on the upside with a guy like Buzelis? Is it take the best player available and go for a guy like Reed Sheppard? What do you feel right now as we're heading in about 4.5 hours out from the first pick being selected?
There's just so much as far as the evaluation process, and it depends on what you want to hear. If you're looking for somebody to say that the Blazers should look at Matas Buzelis, then that's out there. I can go into my phone right now and I can basically find any particular scout or evaluator in whatever player I want to go to whatever team. I can find that opinion. That's how scattered this draft is right now. I just tweeted it out a few minutes ago. I've heard Rob Dillingham is a player that could move into the top 5 right now. And 2 days ago, that was a non-starter. And I heard it from one person 2 days ago. And then I heard it from 3 people. And then I heard it from 4. And then I heard it from 5. And then I heard it from another source this morning. And I was like, holy shnikes. And like that's the thing is, like, I think what one exec told me as far as like their board being so different from mocks is very true. Yeah, like, yeah, there's a lot of chalk in the sense of like what's being put out there. Yeah. But I think teams that are actually picking in the top 10 are uncertain, and there's a lot more caution being thrown to the wind, or a lot less caution being thrown to the wind. So could Portland take a look at a guy like Matas Buzelis? Yeah, they could. And that's the thing is, like, I could they look at a guy like Tijon Salon? Absolutely. That's very much on the table. I have some sources that still think that the Blazers are very much looking at Zach Edey at 14. No one is looking at Zach Edey at 7.
Nope.
Not a single person.
Kevin O'Connor is really pushing Edey at 7.
I have gotten very serious pushback. Kristen Peake
came on the
show and laughed at it. I know she did another appearance where she said Edey at 7 is a fireable offense. So there's very strong opinions about Edey at 7 for sure. I have heard Edey has interest from the Grizzlies. If for whatever reason they can't get to Klingon, they could trade out of 9 and move back potentially to 14 to Portland. If Portland sees somebody at 9 after the Spurs pick, they go, hey, we know that the Jazz are looking at wings too. If for whatever reason the wing that we want is there at 9, we could probably do that. And then you take a look at the Memphis Grizzlies taking Zach Edey. So much of this is eye of the beholder, and then the process of what's in front of you. And I think so much of what happens tonight is going to be determined by what happens in front of you. And I know that's always every draft, but this is even more drastic, where you have a general idea of Team X is going to do this. Yep. Right now, it's like, ow. There's a lot of that going on right now. So, could the Blazers take a look at the long-term runway for Matas Buzelis? Absolutely.
Yeah, Gateway on the YouTube says, Matas seems like the perfect fit in PDX. 6'10", irrational confidence, can pass, dribble, hopefully shoot. hopefully shoot.
Yeah, the dribbling's like that's more theory. It's like, yeah, he's got a better handle than most guys that are like big.
6'10"?
Yeah, but like, I've watched a ton of film on him, and I've seen him live. He gets pushed around a ton.
Yeah.
He's got to learn how to leverage his body. Honestly, I'm significantly less worried about the shooting and more worried about his inability to leverage his size. Yeah.
And that is something that, though, with his age, and he does have the frame to fill out and be a guy who you can kind of coach him along and kind of teach him along the way, and hopefully that's what you're banking on. That's a big upside, big swing type guy. You know, Kirk in on the YouTube chat is saying, hey, if we can get Modest and then move up and get Tijan Salon as well, I mean, that would be the hopping in front of Utah, getting back into 9 from 14, and then you can get a guy like Salon. That's kind of where I'm at, where biggest holes on this roster right now for moving forward into the future. We know Jeremy Grant is a really good 4. He is more than serviceable at the 4. But it is the 3 and the 4. The more bodies that you can get in there, especially in a draft like this where you have 2 picks and you're going to be in a position where you can take some of those bigger swings, fill out those spots as much as you can. And then you let the competition play out over this next season, whether it's Tumani Kamara, you know, Matisse Thybulle, Ryan Rupaire, whomever they draft. Like, let them just go and figure it out, because this is where Portland is at in their rebuild.
Yeah, you go full
Take
Joker.
Swings.
You break the pool cue in half, and you go, all right, whoever comes out.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I'm being serious. No, like, it's a real thing. It's like, yes, you can have too many guys, but also somebody needs to separate themselves from the herd. As much as I love these guys, like, as people, and then, you know, when you're in the locker rooms, when you 41 times, and you spend practices, and you spend hours before game and hours after games talking to the guys, you build relationships with all of them.
Yeah.
I love these guys. But this is also the most competitive industry in the world when you're talking about cutthroat. There's only so many positions. There's 450 spots in the league. If you ain't got it, the next guy, literally, in this draft is coming to take your job.
And, I mean, going back to things that we said yesterday, and, look, this is the subterfuge time where people are trying to undercut and make sure they're weaseling for position all over the place. This is smoke signal season to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. What we went back to yesterday is that we both were like, all right, and I think it's smart to revisit these things when you get to draft day and all the information that's just flooding in is that Cody Williams was the guy that everybody was kind of projecting to and looking at 7. Tijan Salon, also a guy that at 7, everybody was looking for and projecting to. If one of those two guys is available, I still think that that is the move for Portland, because those are two of the guys that they've done the most digging on as well. And the guys that they have dove into, scouted, worked out, and we've, like, when you hear the same names over and over again through the draft process, we can still connect those dots and say, all right, not much is going to change in a wholesale unless one of their guys that they have is like a top 3 ends up falling in their lap, whether that's Donovan Klingon, whether that's, you know, Reed Shepard, Modest Bozelis, wherever they have those guys, you know, mocked in their top prospects, unless one just falls into your lap, I still go back to Cody Williams. I still go back to Tijan Salon.
One of the interesting things is, and I think we can talk about this a little bit later, is the Hornets could be in a prime position to kind of screw with the Blazers yet again in year 2. Because the Hornets are picking directly in front of them.
Let's dive into that next. Because last year it was Brandon Miller, and then the Blazers ended up selecting Scoot Henderson at 3. This year the Charlotte Hornets sit at 6. And the Blazers sit at 7 directly behind them. And it very easily could happen where they throw the Blazers for a loop for a second straight year. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Are those guys in Charlotte going to screw us over again, Danny?
I mean, there's an opportunity for them, too, to try to leverage somebody. Cody Williams has been linked to them a lot over the last couple of days. I've heard that the group of guys that they're looking at, Reed Shepard, Dalton Kennett, Cody Williams, is kind of that group. And if Dalton doesn't go 6, I think there's a good chance he actually could fall out of the top 10. I think he's a candidate for a kind of a faller, to speak. I could see Chicago being a landing spot for him. But last year,
they're at 11.
Yep. The last year, though, the Hornets had the number 2 overall pick. The Blazers had number 3. And the Hornets did call and say, hey, do you want to trade up to 2? And they asked for a pretty righteous sum to move up 1 pick. Now, it was a draft where guys were looked at a lot higher. But Charlotte tried to really leverage things in the closing hours leading into the draft, and the Blazers said, "Nah, that's too steep. We're not interested in doing that." And ultimately, they took the best prospect available in Scoot Henderson in their eyes.
This is good. Now, here would be the interesting prospect for me. We've talked about this. You have two first-round picks this year, two second-round picks this year. The Portland Trail Blazers do. If there is a situation where that threat of Cody Williams is there, okay, so four draft picks this year, you've already got, when you consider the options that will be picked up from guys that are on this roster right now, we already have 12 roster spots that have been filled out by Portland, okay, with the four draft picks available, could we see Portland say, all right, we're not going to do this year. If we like Cody Williams, we're going to go get Cody Williams, and we'll give up a pick to make sure we get our guy.
I have not heard the Blazers involved in any of those kind of discussions.
They have wanted to use both picks from the get-go.
Yeah, and as much as there was that discussion about the Blazers are entertaining moving up for Donovan Klingon, I think they did their due diligence, but I have not heard anything that would indicate that they got that deep into any discussions.
Yeah.
Now, does that change in the next 3 hours?
Yeah.
Sure. But at this point, no. I don't think they would. But as we always say, the impetus for action is always an event, and that's being on the clock. If the Hornets are on the clock and the Hornets call the Blazers and say, hey, you sure you don't want to? Do they change?
Yeah.
And I think that's always the – I know it sounds like a cop-out, but that's the reality of this stuff, is that so much of it depends on when the pressure is applied and how it's applied.
And look, this is something that – this came in on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at VancouverFord.com. Wanted clarification. Picks in this draft can be traded up until 1 hour prior to the draft starts, and then trades will happen as they are on the clock otherwise. So from 4 to 5 p.m., picks are locked until the pick is on the clock.
That's how it's been done historically. I can't find any changes within the new CBA, so I believe it's still the case. So yeah.
That is always silly, though. When guys get drafted, they're forced to put on the hat for the team that we know
that
they're not playing for.
They changed it already at the draft lottery. Remember, instead of showing the Warriors card at 14, they showed the Blazers card. So maybe instead of having the agreed upon in principle and where they put on the wrong hat, like, just let them put on the right hat.
Yeah.
We all know that, like, what if the trade doesn't go through and now he's wearing the wrong, like, then somebody screwed up and they gave the wrong Brooks for the trade.
You will have one photo that's a footnote in history that this guy was drafted and it didn't work and the trade fell through, as opposed to every draft day trade where these guys are forced to put on a hat for a team they will never play for.
Yes. And it's funny, we have
multiple of them. Yeah. Yeah.
You go back in and you see the Andrew Wiggins wearing a Cavs hat. We all know this isn't happening. Why are we pretending?
So we're going to probably see in what you, as you said, deadlines spur action. There's teams that want to get these trades done in the hopper as early as they possibly can, because then you can really start going through your draft and solidifying what you want to do.
Yes and
no. The mess in all of it is that because of 5, 6, 7, where there could be the anarchy, that's why the teams want to move up to 3, because you know what's going to happen more or less at 1 and 2.
And that's the thing is if you're Houston, that's what you're saying. Look, behind us, you don't really know. Here, you have an idea, and I think that's what's – everybody's waiting for Houston. And then I think you'll see, like, draft day trades as far as the draft pick type. Now, the Brooklyn Nets are a team that are flagging. Like, they have no picks in this draft. Now, they have 4 picks next year, and they're going a hard reset. Cam Johnson is a guy that is sought after. There's multiple teams I know that are chasing him, and Dorian Finney-Smith. Does a team look at Cam Thomas and be like, hey, do you want to go get some buckets somewhere else, or do you want to be in Brooklyn and get 40 shots a night? Which I think that actually might be something he'd like.
Just treat it like the G League.
Yeah,
night.
I can get as many up as I want here. Because that man, like, if he was, if you're playing, you know, 2K with him, you should not be able to pass the ball. Like, because that man is a chucker if there ever was one. And then I don't say that, like, begrudgingly. Like, the man knows what he does. The other thing that everybody else is waiting for beyond those kind of moves are the big moves. And that's what's going to happen with Paul George, because that domino has massive implications across the NBA as far as power structures and how teams are lined up.
Well, we can't really determine what's going to happen with Paul George right now.
Nope.
We are going to have to wait until second week of July.
Oh, no, it might happen before that.
First week of July.
That's what I'm saying. There's real smoke around the potential for a Paul George deal in the next 12 hours.
With the Clippers or
somewhere else.
Oh, wow. How does that happen when free agency hasn't started?
Because they can agree to trade him.
Yeah.
They can do a sign and trade. That's something you can agree to before free agency starts. That's totally allowable.
And do a sign and trade, but the rumored teams that are interested in Paul George right now are all teams that have cap space for a max slot that
or
they can
could potentially move some things around, like the Golden State Warriors. Dun, 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 dun.
What do you mean by that? Let's dive into that.
There's a lot there they can do. They have Chris Paul's contract that they can use as an expiring. They all need to do is push the date out on it, and they can manifest.
You know what's great about that is then you would have a Clippers team and him going back to the Clippers with Russell Westbrook, James Harden as well.
Well,
that'd be sweet.
I think there's an opportunity that Harden is also not on that team going forward.
The no ring club altogether.
Everybody chasing it together, and Kawhi sitting there like, I got mine. A combination, and they don't have to do Chris Paul. They could also do some version of Andrew Wiggins and Moses Moody. Jonathan Kuminga. There's a lot there. There's also potential deals around Darius Garland that I've heard across the league, as well as Brandon Ingram. Still haven't heard anything about Trae Young or DeJounte Murray.
And they have to make some moves in Atlanta right now.
And I think the onus is on them to trade one of them tonight. And I think that they're going to trade Trae. But he's also harder to trade.
Yeah.
Because he costs more money, and the defensive deficiencies and the way you have to build around him.
Well, because he's so limited in really everything except for shooting the ball.
Shooting, driving, finishing, playmaking. No, he's great at those.
I mean, playmaking, yes.
Yeah, but no, he's on a driver as a finisher. He's still very good.
I just don't like Trae Young.
Get in line.
Not a fan.
Look, man,
I'm not a fan of his game either.
I don't. That's fair, too. Like, I think there's a lot of players in the NBA that aren't a fan of his game, because the way that Trae Young has been described to me by other players in the NBA is like, Trae gets to decide when you get to touch the ball. So I think there's a lot of guys that look at that and
that's the guy you want with the ball in his hand every single possession.
Yeah, so I would say that's mildly problematic at best, but yeah, he doesn't have... I don't get into the personal stuff and the rumor mills and that kind of stuff too often, but I would say Trae Young, the fan club among NBA players, as far as playing with him, he's probably one of the least liked in that regard.
Okay, we've got a ton that we need to get to still, including the Rockets and what they're going to do with Sengun and the ability to maybe bring in Kevin Durant, which has been rumored overnight after the Mikal Bridges trade happened. Phoenix, by the way, full disclosure, is saying...
Shooting that down.
No. Hard no. Would you like Bradley Beal, though? Which I don't think anybody else wants.
Smart move.
I mean, yeah, it is. They're pulling the...
Can I interest you?
You call for Tom Brady, we'll give you Jimmy Garoppolo type deal. Except for Jimmy Garoppolo's arm fell off.
I mean,
we got Rockets, we've got the Portland Trailblazers, and the interest that is being showed by other teams for guys like Jeremy Grant, Malcolm Brogdon, Robert Williams. There's a lot of movement that could happen on the Portland Trailblazers roster as well. But where we got to start, our number two, Corey Teleba is he's a curator of vibes for No Ceilings. He's the founder of No Ceilings. They've got their composite mock draft that is finalized. It is out, and he joins us next. This is Danny and Dusty live from 10 Barrel Brewing in the Pearl, 14th and Flanders. Come down, have lunch, have a brew, and watch all things basketball here at 10 Barrel Brewing right here on The Fan. Are those guys in Charlotte going to screw us over again, Danny?
I mean, there's an opportunity for them to try to leverage somebody. Cody Williams has been linked to them a lot over the last couple of days. I've heard that the group of guys that they're looking at, Reed Shepard, Dalton Kennett, Cody Williams, is kind of that group. And if Dalton doesn't go six, I think there's a good chance he actually could fall out of the top 10. I think he's a candidate for a kind of a faller, so to speak. I could see Chicago being a landing spot for him, but last year
they're at 11.
Yep, the last year though, the Hornets had the number 2 overall pick. The Blazers had number 3, and the Hornets did call and say, "Hey, do you want to trade up to 2?" And they asked for a pretty righteous sum to move up one pick. Now it was a draft where guys were looked at a lot higher, but Charlotte tried to really leverage things in the closing hours leading into the draft, and the Blazers said, "Nah, that's too steep. We're not interested in doing that." And ultimately, they took the best prospect available in Scoot Henderson in their eyes.
This is good. Now, here would be the interesting prospect for me. We've talked about this. You have 2 first round picks this year, 2 second round picks this year. The Portland Trail Blazers do. If there is a situation where that threat of Cody Williams is there, okay, so 4 draft picks this year, you've already got, when you consider the options that will be picked up from guys that are on this roster right now, we already have 12 roster spots that have been filled out by Portland, okay, with the 4 draft picks available. Could we see Portland say, "All right, we're not going to do this year. If we like Cody Williams, we're going to go get Cody Williams, and we'll give up a pick to make sure we get our guy"?
I have not heard the Blazers involved in any of those kind of discussions.
They have wanted to use both picks from the get-go.
Yeah, and I don't. As much as there was that discussion about the Blazers are entertaining moving up for Donovan Klingon, I think they did their due diligence, but I have not heard anything that would indicate that they got that deep into any discussions.
Yeah.
Now, does that change in the next 3 hours?
Yeah.
Sure. But at this point, no. I don't think they would. But as we always say, the impetus for action is always an event, and that's being on the clock. If the Hornets are on the clock and the Hornets call the Blazers and say, "Hey, you sure you don't want to?" Do they change?
Yeah.
And I think that's always the. I know it sounds like a cop out, but that's the reality of this stuff. Is that so much of it depends on when the pressure is applied and how it's applied.
And look, this is something that this came in on the Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. Wanted clarification: picks in this draft can be traded up until 1 hour prior to the draft starts, and then trades will happen as they are on the clock otherwise. So from 4 to 5 p.m., picks are locked until the pick is on the clock.
That's how it's been done historically. I can't find any changes within the new CBA, so I believe that's still the case. So yeah.
That is always silly, though. When guys get drafted, they're forced to put on the hat for the team that we know
that
they're not playing for.
They changed it already at the draft lottery. Remember, instead of showing the Warriors card at 14, they showed the Blazers card. So maybe instead of having the agreed upon in principle and where they put on the wrong hat, like, just let them put on the right hat.
Yeah.
We all know that, like, what if the trade doesn't go through and he's wearing the wrong, like, then somebody screwed up and they gave the wrong Brooks for the trade.
You will have one photo that's a footnote in history that this guy was drafted and it didn't work and the trade fell through, as opposed to every draft day trade where these guys are forced to put on a hat for a team they will never play for.
Yes. And it's funny, we have
multiple of them. Yeah.
You go back in and you see the Andrew Wiggins wearing a Cavs hat. We all know this isn't happening. Why are we pretending?
So we're going to probably see in what you, as you said, deadlines spur action. There's teams that want to get these trades done in the hopper as early as they possibly can, because then you can really start going through your draft and solidifying what you want to do.
Yes and
no. The mess in all of it is that because of 5, 6, 7, where there could be the anarchy, that's why the teams want to move up to 3, because you know what's going to happen more or less at 1 and 2.
And that's the thing is if you're Houston, that's what you're saying. Look, behind us, you don't really know. Here, you have an idea, and I think that's what's – everybody's waiting for Houston. And then I think you'll see, like, draft day trades as far as the draft pick type. Now, the Brooklyn Nets are a team that are flagging. Like, they have no picks in this draft. Now, I have 4 picks next year, and they're going a hard reset. Cam Johnson is a guy that is sought after. There's multiple teams I know that are chasing him, and Dorian Finney-Smith. Does a team look at Cam Thomas and be like, "Hey, do you want to go get some buckets somewhere else, or do you want to be in Brooklyn and get 40 shots a night?" Which, I think that actually might be something he'd like.
Just go get, just treat it like the G League.
Yeah,
night.
I can get as many apps as I want here. Because that man, like, if he was, if you're playing, you know, 2K with him, you should not be able to pass the ball. Like, because that man is a chucker if there ever was one. And I don't say that, like, begrudgingly. Like, the man knows what he does. The other thing that everybody else is waiting for beyond those kind of moves are the big moves. And that's what's going to happen with Paul George, because that domino has massive implications across the NBA as far as power structures and how teams are lined up.
Well, we can't really determine what's going to happen with Paul George right now.
Nope.
We are going to have to wait until second week of July.
Oh, no, it might happen before
or
that.
The first week of July,
that's what I'm saying. There's real smoke around the potential for a Paul George deal in the next 12 hours.
With the Clippers or a...
Somewhere else.
Oh, wow. How does that happen when free agency hasn't started?
Because they can agree to trade him.
Yeah.
They can do a sign-and-trade. That's something you can agree to before free agency starts. That's totally allowable.
And do a sign-and-trade, but the rumored teams that are interested in Paul George right now are all teams that have cap space for a max slot that they can
facilitate. Or could potentially move some things around, like the Golden State Warriors. Dun-dun-dun-dun.
What do you mean by that? Let's dive into that.
There's a lot there they can do. They have Chris Paul's contract that they can use as an expiring. All they need to do is push the date out on it, and they can manifest.
You know what's great about that is then you would have a Clippers team and him going back to the Clippers with Russell Westbrook, James Harden as well.
Well,
that'd be sweet.
I think there's an opportunity that Harden is also not on that team going forward.
The no-ring club all together?
Everybody chasing together, and Kawhi sitting there like, I got mine. a combination, and they don't have to do Chris Paul. They could also do some version of Andrew Wiggins and Moses Moody. Jonathan Kuminga. There's a lot there. There's also potential deals around Darius Garland that I've heard across the league, as well as Brandon Ingram. Still haven't heard anything about Trae Young or DeJounte Murray.
And they have to make some moves in Atlanta right now.
And I think the onus is on them to trade one of them tonight. And I think that they're going to trade Trae. But he's also harder to trade.
Yeah.
Because he costs more money and the defensive deficiencies and the way you have to build around him.
Well, because he's so limited in really everything except for shooting the ball.
Shooting, driving, finishing, playmaking. No, he's great at those.
I mean, playmaking, yes.
Yeah. But no, he's not a driver, he's a finisher. He's still very good.
I just like Trae Young.
Get in line.
Not a fan.
Look, man,
I'm not a fan of his game either.
I don't. That's fair too. Like, I think there's a lot of players in the NBA that aren't a fan of his game because the way that Trae Young has been described to me by other players in the NBA is like Trae gets to decide when you get to touch the ball. So I think there's a lot of guys that look at that and
that's the guy you want with the ball in his hand every single possession.
Yeah. So I would say that's mildly problematic at best. But yeah, he doesn't have. I don't get into the personal stuff and the rumor mills and that kind of stuff too often, but I would say Trae Young, the fan club among NBA players, as far as playing with him, he's probably one of the least liked in that regard.
Okay, we've got a ton that we need to get to still, including the Rockets and what they're going to do with Sengun and the ability to maybe bring in Kevin Durant, which has been rumored overnight after the Mikal Bridges trade happened. Phoenix, by the way, full disclosure, is saying...
Shoot that down.
No. Hard no. Would you like Bradley Beal, though? Which I don't think anybody else wants.
Smart move.
I mean, yeah, it is. They're pulling the...
Can I interest you?
You call for Tom Brady, we'll give you Jimmy Garoppolo type deal. Except for Jimmy Garoppolo's arm fell off.
I mean,
we got Rockets, we've got the Portland Trailblazers, and the interest that is being showed by other teams for guys like Jeremy Grant, Malcolm Brogdon, Robert Williams. There's a lot of movement that could happen on the Portland Trailblazers roster as well. But where we got to start, our number two, Corey Teleba is he's a curator of vibes for No Ceilings. He's the founder of No Ceilings. They've got their composite mock draft that is finalized. It is out, and he joins us next. This is Danny and Dusty live from 10 Barrel Brewing in the Pearl, 14th and Flanders. Come down, have lunch, have a brew, and watch all things basketball here at 10 Barrel Brewing, right here on The Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.